You were just listening to Breathing Earth by Barry Guy, as performed by the composer, who was the double bassist, along with Baroque violinist Maya Homburger, an ECM compact disc. Well, good morning. The time is 9 a.m. on Wednesday, November 19th, and you are tuned to WPRB, Princeton, New Jersey. Community-supported independent radio at 103.3 FM or online around the world at www.wprb.com. Welcome to another edition of Classical Discoveries. I am your host for this program, Marvin Rosen, and I'm with you every Wednesday morning from 5:30 until 11. Now, you can become a fan of Classical Discoveries on Facebook and can also follow me, Marvin Rosen, on Twitter. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Today we are being joined by the publisher and editor of the magazine, Music and Literature, Taylor Davis Van Atta. Thank you so much, Taylor, for once again for joining me today. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Margaret.
Well, now we are ready to go to the just-released fifth volume of Music and Literature. The main feature focuses on one of Finland's most well-known living composers, Kaija Saariaho. Now, Taylor, share with us a bit how this extensive, almost 150-page segment came about.
We always, Daniel and I are always pitching each other on artists, and we have a sort of rolling short list of artists who we would like to feature in future issues. And it was about a year ago that we decided that we wanted to feature Kaija in our fifth issue. And I had just read the English biography of Kaija, and I wrote to her it was either January or February, and she happened to be in New York at the same time that Daniel Medden, my co-editor there, was in New York, and it all came together in about 48 hours, where Kaija wrote back to me, said that she was in New York, and we coordinated a meeting between Daniel and Kaija, and I fed Daniel a list of Kaija's past contributors, and basically they met for 90 minutes, and Kaija threw in the meeting, and ever since has been incredibly generous and trusting and open, and it's resulted in this really remarkable portfolio on her entire life's work.
Tell us a little bit about some of the contents in the magazine.
So you mentioned earlier, what is underrepresented, and here's an example. We are publishing here almost 60 pages of newly translated work or writings by Kaija, which have just been neglected by other Anglophone editors and publishers. So while Kaija's name is very well known, the fact that she is a remarkable writer and thinker about music, is not known to the Anglophone world. Well, here you have, 50 or 60 pages of really candid writings dating back from 1980 all the way through the present day. So the last 35 years of her thinking, her musical thinking, is documented here. On top of that, we have a new and extended and newly translated interview, a retrospective interview with Kaija. We have a discussion with Antti Kartunen, who's one of her closest musical collaborators, the cellist. We have a discussion between conductor Esa-Pekka Salonen and the American stage director Peter Sellers, which is really one of my favorite pieces in the whole volume. We have a piece by the flautist Camilla Hoitenga, who's another one of Kaija's closest friends and collaborators. David Harrington of the Kronos Quartet wrote a piece for us. And this is also very remarkable. We brought into English the email exchange between Kaija and Amin Maalouf, who has written three of the librettos for her operas. And this is the making of Adriana Mater.
Yeah, it sounds like a very extensive series of writings, and one of the Scandinavia's most gifted and living composers, Kaija Saariaho. Now, there will be a special concert featuring her music tomorrow night. That's Thursday, November 20th at 8 p.m. It will be at Scandinavia House, 58 Park Avenue at 38th Street in Manhattan. And for more information, you can dial 212-779-3587. Taylor, just tell us just a bit more about the concert before we go on.
Sure. So this concert features it's an evening of chamber music, and it features five of Kaya's soloists: flautist Camilla Hoitenga, violinist Elisa Berriere, double bassist Tony Flint, soprano Lucy Shelton, and cellist Hannah Collins. And alongside this musical programming, we will also have readings from the issue. As I mentioned, Naya will be present to represent another one of the featured artists in the fifth issue, Norwegian writer Stig Sederbakken. And we will also have a presentation on the third featured artist of the issue, Chinese author Shang Shui.
Well, continuing with Kaya Saariaho, last Thursday morning in New York, I had the honor and wonderful experience of interviewing the composer. And we are going to play this interview for you. This is a very special thing, which I had the opportunity to do. And after the first part of this interview, we will hear one of her works, which is discussed as part of the interview. The interview begins with more information about tomorrow's concert. We listen now, and I present Kaya Saariaho. I am here in New York, sitting next to the great Finnish composer Kaya Saariaho, whose career and music is a big feature of the recent issue of the magazine Music and Literature, a wonderful source which presents extensive articles about lesser-known composers and works. Kaya, I want to first of all thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. It is definitely an honor to be here, and I am absolutely thrilled.
Thank you, Mark.
I have been a big fan of your music for many years. First of all, what brings you to New York?
Well, in fact, I'm here between my trips to Los Angeles and Mexico. I'm not a big fan of transatlantic flights, so I came here to work for a couple of weeks, and also my daughter is studying at the Manes College, which is just
a little bit away.
Yes. So that's one good reason.
And you're also going to be part of a concert of your music that will be next Thursday, correct?
Yes, we found very conveniently this day.
And what works of yours? It's mainly chamber music, correct?
Yes, that will be very intimate occasion. In fact, it's chamber music quite a lot with my friend Camilla Hoitenga, flutist, to whom I wrote really most of
my music. Yeah.
My daughter is playing, she's violinist, one of my pieces. And then there is Hannah Collins, a young cellist with whom I worked already a lot. And in fact, I can tell it to you here because my son is not here, but my son is a theater director, and he will be 25 years. And I have a series of pieces I wrote as a surprise birthday gift. There will be one for him.
Surprise.
Yes, that's the surprise.
Can you say anything more about that?
I can, because it's only for him surprise. It's called Boatswain's Cheer. Mm-hmm. It's I have a series of pieces. The totality it's called Tempest Songbook, and I always go to look for a text from Shakespeare's The Tempest, and strangely I always find one. And I started this series I wrote for my first one of my first composition teacher Brian Fernihall for his birthday. Then I wrote for my first composition teacher Paavo Heininen in Finland, another surprise. The next one I don't even remember to whom, but I mean, ever since I've written one for Peter Sellars, I've written one for Roger Reynolds. All these people, Anssi Karttunen, my cellist friend, and I've written only for people who really had a great impact on my music and life.
Right.
And so now I decided to do one for my son, mm-hmm. because he made a very big production of my my oratorio La Passione di Simone.
Oh yes, I know that.
So,
well, this concert featuring your chamber music will be at Scandinavia House. That will be 1 week from tonight on Thursday. Today is the 13th, so that's the 20th. I'm thinking in my head. It'll be 1 week from tonight on the 20th on the Scandinavia House. Is at 58 Park Avenue at 38th Street. The phone number is 212-779-3587, and that is at 8 p.m. Well, we will be talking about other things coming up a little later on. For now, though, I want to go back to Kaya's very beginning, the very, very beginning of your life. Share with us a bit about your early experiences in music. Now, I read that your parents were not musical. And so how did you get into it? I think your father was in a steelwork or something. So how did you get interested, and what sparked your interest in music?
Well, maybe my parents were musical, but I mean, they came from very modest background, and they could never study music.
Right.
I don't know how I became interested in music. I think it was always there. I was really sensitive to sounds first. Mm-hmm. I love things like walking in forest after rain, when the birds started to sing again. I didn't know mm-hmm. why, but when I was adult, I understood mm-hmm. that because the acoustic was so different because of mm-hmm. The wet leaves. So it started like that. I was playing a lot with a big radio at home and hearing mm-hmm. different musics from the radio. I loved that. So it started very early and very normally, you know, like anybody mm-hmm. who is looking for...
I read something very interesting. Maybe you don't even remember it because it was so many years ago. I read something very interesting about how you were inspired that when you heard your pillow or something like that, something that you heard music from a pillow, or imagine that.
Yeah, well, that's what my mother has told me, that in the evening when I don't remember it, or maybe I remember it very vaguely because it still happens to me.
Yeah.
But it's just that because when I was a small child, I didn't know it. It was in my mind. Mm-hmm. I was imagining so vividly.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I asked my mother to switch the pillow off because I thought it came from pillow.
That's
why she knew about it.
Okay, now I get a good story, actually. Well, when did you decide you wanted to study composition seriously, and whom did you study with in your early years?
Well, I started composing when I was 10, 11, and I played many instruments, also guitar, and then that guitar allowed me to compose in my room, because in fact my mother didn't like that I didn't play the music which was written on the score when I was playing piano, because she liked when she was mostly at home when we three children were smaller, and so she liked when I came home. She liked to make a pause in her homework. She just wanted to rest on the couch, and she wanted me to play piano.
Yeah.
And so she didn't like me to try to do my composition. It was not pleasant, you know. It was not what she imagined that the music should be.
Yeah.
So it took a really, really, really long time, and then I felt that I don't have talent enough. I had a bad chance to read Mozart's biography when I was 11, 12, mm-hmm. and I realized that in that age Mozart had written quite a lot already, and so I had nobody to talk to about these things. Right. So I just felt that music is so important that if we don't have talent, it's better not to waste your time. So I was over 20 then, finally, when I applied to the composition department.
Okay. And then who did you study with some of your early teachers?
My most important and first teacher was Paavo Heinonen at the Sibelius Academy.
Okay, very good. And when you were listening to music, when you were 20, you know, mm-hmm. getting interested more and more involved, were there certain works that really appealed to you, that influenced you, inspired you?
There were some really important works, but since I came really from a family with no this kind of culture, I had to discover it all myself. So it was very, very, you know, it was what I happened to find from the music library or music shop. So I had Szymanowski's second violin concerto, which I loved enormously. I had then also some pieces. I found some LPs of in Helsinki, the only big music shop. One LP of the music by Henri Pousseur.
Oh yeah, sure.
And
sure,
know, it was completely what I happened to find.
By chance,
yes,
almost.
Very, very different kind of things. Something I always loved a lot since I'm a little girl, and I heard it a lot in the radio in Finland, was of course Sibelius music, and I loved his songs very much.
Mm, very good. Well, this is good, and you kind of see, in a way, I think, the works and composers you're mentioning when you were younger. So you can hear that some of this inspired you even as far as today, some of these initial ideas and thoughts. Well, let's go now, Kaija, to your very early works. Describe them to me. How different are they than what we hear today? Like some of the things, your first efforts.
The most early works, I think they still already had the same atmosphere what my music has
today,
even today, but they were lacking of course the tools to express them.
Right.
I would say that the first piece that I'm happy with even today is the Lacan Nisme Dolel, my first flute piece, which in fact Camilla will play
next week.
Yes.
Great. Well, just very briefly, as a young composer, what did you find some of your biggest challenges in the early years as a young composer?
Well, I felt very frustrated not having musical background in my family, because I didn't have culture. I really had to do it all by myself, and then of course being a young woman was a challenge at that time.
Yeah, and we will talk about that in just a moment. But we're talking about a little bit about, you mentioned challenges being a young woman. What were some of the special things or some of the things you went through because of that?
Well, I think people couldn't really take it seriously, but it's because it was very unusual at 30 years ago, and even, 35, I don't even dare to think how long time ago.
I won't mention it.
So it was very unusual, and of course I was even myself affected by that. That's why it took some time for me to dare to take the step. Because I felt that how could I be able to do something that nobody else did? So that made me feel very fragile. And that was the attitude of other people also. Well, why could this girl, why would she be able to do something? Because where are all the women? So it was in Finland, which is so egalitarian country, it was still very clear even for professional composers and musicians that women cannot compose, because they don't have ability for abstract thinking. Somebody thought, well, it's a hormonal thing, and so on.
Yeah.
So that was the reality. Mm. So some people were, well, my most frustrating memory is that I got the first commission from the Finnish radio, a piece for cello and piano. And there was a cellist I admired so much. And I called him up and I asked him, could he make the recording for the radio? And he said, yeah, sure, well, what is the piece? And I said, well, I'm working on it. And he started laughing. He said, are you the composer? And I said, yeah, I'm a young composer. And he was laughing. He found it so funny. And then it just ended the discussion. He said, oh my girl, this is too funny.
Oh,
thanks a lot. So, and then when that same piece was recorded, and it was my first radio recording, very big deal. Then when I came to the room, of course nobody knew me, and a pianist who was very nice, a woman, said when I came in, oh, here comes my page turner. But it was not badly meant. It had no
stereotype.
Yeah, it was just, that was the reality that time. Mm. So,
do you feel, I feel things have improved somewhat. Do you feel that, or still problems? I mean, you're very, of course, you're a very successful composer. But do you experience any challenges yourself, even today?
You know, I was like Sleeping Beauty for around 30 years, because things have been much better for me.
Mm, sure.
I thought that things generally have changed a lot.
Yes.
And I woke up a couple of years ago from my dream, and I saw that there are still so many problems, not really for me, but for all the young women of today. Mm. And if we speak about other cultures, just every woman on the earth. So it's disappointing. It's advancing very slowly.
It is, and it's a shame. And you know, sometimes what I notice too is that people make stereotypes, and you totally are proving that wrong, that women write music that's sweet and you're totally proving that wrong, of course, very intense emotional scores. But I remember in one of my classes a number of years ago, I played a bunch of selections, who wrote it, a man or a woman, and they couldn't figure it out. And what it proved was that women write in all styles, like men do.
And
you can't decide, you cannot figure out who wrote what gender wrote what. And So, but it's a very difficult, still a difficult nut to crack.
It strangely is, and what is the most difficult domain in music is, of course, the conductors.
Mm. Oh, there.
And I think that, well, even very recently, the most famous conducting teacher in Finland, Jorma Panula,
yes,
suddenly opened his mouth and started explaining, after having many great women in his class, started explaining that women should not conduct Bruckner or Wagner, that they should not conduct Stravinsky. They could do Schubert and maybe Ravel. And can you imagine?
Right.
I hope all the young conductors can take it with humor.
Yeah, I mean, it's of course your music, and I think, you know, your music is totally different. But I think another very emotionally powerful woman composer is Gubaidulina, you know, too. And I guess women couldn't conduct her music. Well, Kaya, let's go now a little bit to your music itself. You have written a number of works which include electronics. Did you employ electronics very early in your career, and do you use electronics more or less now than earlier? And why? Do you share with us your use of electronics in your scores right now?
I'm still using electronics, in fact, a lot in the piece I'm working on right now. I went to studios very early when I was studying at Sibelius Academy. It was something really natural for me. I was looking for certain things which I could not realize in concert halls. Otherwise, I was really sensitive to different acoustics, and that's why I started amplifying sounds. I started using them reverberations. So I very early went into the studio, and then later when I had finished my studies in Germany, I applied to a computer music course at IRCAM in Paris.
Oh yes.
And that's how I came
to
Paris, yeah, and to work with computers, and that has been important part of my work. So people tend to say that I'm working less with electronics than before, but it's not true. It depends always on the project. And it's complicated with electronics. Let's say I have written music now for 35 years, and the equipment with electronics is changing so much.
Sure, sure.
So we need to update the works all the time. That's very much extra work. So one would not use electronics if you are really not, you know, if it's really not part of your idea.
Yeah.
And so in some big pieces I don't use, in others I do.
Right.
So
right.
I think it's a part of my musical vocabulary.
Oh, sounds good, very good. Let's go now to specifically a score of yours, a piece of yours, which we're going to be listening to now. This is Tokar, which is a piece for violin and piano, dating from 2010, of course, a fairly recent work. Just share with us a bit of background about this composition and some of the effects that the violinist uses.
Tokar was written for the Sibelius Violin Competition, and I had never written before piece for piano and violin, because I really didn't, I had more generally problem with piano, because I'm working so much with the continuous sound and its transformation, and piano sound of course starts dying right after you.
And you've written very little for solo piano.
Yeah, very little. So the idea of this piece, then I was thinking that it would be Tokar touching, in fact, the ways instruments touch their instrument instrumentalist touch, and then this became a metaphor for the musical material. They start very far apart, and then at certain point of the piece there is a moment where the material really is touching and becomes one before again growing apart.
Right.
Well, I am back live, and we listen now to Tokar by Kaija Saariaho. The work was written in 2010 and will be performed now by violinist Antti Tikkanen and pianist Anna Laakso. Music of Kaija Saariaho. Thank you. You were just listening to Tokar by Finnish composer Kaija Saariaho. The work was written in 2010 and just performed by violinist Antti Tikkanen and pianist Anina Laakso. Music of Kaija Saariaho. Well, before we go back, Taylor, to the interview and music of Kaija Saariaho, I thought we would talk briefly about upcoming issues of music and literature. By the way, I am being joined by the publisher and editor of the magazine Music and Literature, Taylor Davis Van Ette. Taylor, welcome back.
Thank you, Marvin.
Great to have you here. And well, what's coming up in Volume 6?
Volume 6 will be available next spring, and it will feature the Argentine poet Alejandra Pizarnik, who is a legend in Argentina, but very little of her work has appeared in English, Croatian author Dubravka Jugracic, and Ukrainian composer Victoria Poleva.
Very good. Well, Victoria Poleva began her career writing works related to the aesthetics of the avant-garde and polystylistic composer. However, from the late 1990s, her music changed and has been identified stylistically with sacred minimalism. In other words, composers such as Arvo Pärt, John Tavener, and Henrik Gorecki. Well, we are going to listen now to a choral selection of hers, and this is her Credo, dating from 2008. We hear the chamber choir Credo, conducted by Bogdan Plisch. You were just listening to Credo, dating from 2008, by Ukrainian composer Victoria Polova, as performed by the chamber choir Credo, conducted by Bogdan Plish. Well, I am joined today by the publisher and editor of the magazine Music and Literature, Taylor Davis Van Etter. Well, Taylor, why don't we go to volume 7 of them? We're really thinking ahead. Why don't you take over a little bit?
Sure. Our 7th volume will be released next fall. The headlining artist for that volume will be the Russian-born composer Lara Auerbach. And for most of the featured artists, we've been fans of theirs for a long time, and Lara is an exception. She was only put on my radar in this past year, actually by a mutual friend of ours, and I was fortunate last month to be able to travel down to Florida, where Lara keeps her studio, and to begin working with her on this portfolio. Lara is really a unique and remarkable talent. She is a virtuosic a concert pianist. She is a poet. She has 5 volumes of poetry, substantial volumes, I would add, published in Russian, though none of it has yet made its way into English, though we're going to remedy that. She is a visual artist, a sculptor, and, of course, a composer as well, a prolific composer. She's only 40 years of age, and she has nearly 100 opuses. And she emigrated to the U.S. When she was 18 years old. She has a remarkable backstory, on the 4th of July, no less. And she attended Juilliard School of Music. And, and her studio includes a really extensive and impressive library as well. And I think we'll hear some of that literary influence in the piece we're going to hear.
Well, we are going to listen to music now by Lara Auerbach. We listen to her speak, Memory. We hear violinist Hilary Hahn along with pianist Corey Smythe. Thank you. Music by Lyra Auerbach. You were just listening to her composition, Speak Memory. It was performed by violinist Hilary Hahn, along with pianist Corey Smythe. Music of Lyra Auerbach. Well, a little while ago, I presented part of an interview I conducted with Kaya Sarriaho, and two more of that right now. This will be followed by a complete performance of her composition, Ultra Mar. We go back to Kaya Sarriaho. Kaya, let us go now briefly to your method of composing. And I'm going to present an imaginary scenario. You have just been commissioned to compose a big orchestral work, 30 minutes or so, maybe even longer. You know more or less the instrumentation, you know the deadline and all the various specifics. How do you approach this? How do you begin working? And I guess, how does the work come into being? How is it born?
Well, when I get this commission, then it would be something that is decided quite many years before I have the deadline. Mm-hmm. I always, first of all, I have many pieces that I'm already planning, and then secondly, I like to have time to really imagine the piece. So when we decide about the commission, I have in myself maybe already an idea, but then maybe not. Maybe I have just some kind of not clarified feeling about wanting to write this piece. And then when there is the date, then that, I think it starts working in me,
right,
without being very conscious. And then at some point, the idea